Blog Talk Radio.
If you have ghosts, you have everything. If you have ghosts, you have everything. You can say anything you want, and you can do anything you want to do if you have ghosts. You have everything. One never does that. One never does that. You can call it surprise, there it is.
WPRS.
I'm Wendy.
And I'm Eric, and we're here with Visionique.
She's here somewhere.
Yeah, she's here. She's always here. So hope everybody's having an awesome night tonight, and I hope you're ready for our exciting show tonight. We do have one big announcement that I'm going to let Wendy tell you.
We are currently internetless. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, if you want to make that a big announcement, everybody's sitting on the edge of their seats to hear that. Wow.
Is that the big announcement?
No.
Oh, we're going to be at 360 this weekend.
And I can't.
And we're coming live on the Saturday show.
Yes, I cannot wait. You're not going to want to miss this. It's going to be awesome.
So we're actually going to do a pre-show, live pre-show, video pre-show at 8 o'clock. Yeah, 8 o'clock. So everybody needs to tune in for that.
Yeah, and you'll get to see Visionique.
Yeah, Visionique's going to be live on video.
Wow.
And yeah, we're still internetless.
Yeah, but that's a different story. Than fighting with the techs.
Yeah, so thank you to Ryan for helping us out tonight. So
yes.
We'll have to give him a prize or something Saturday night. Anyway, love you, Ryan. And yeah, so we might as well bring on the very special guest tonight.
Yes.
Jake Five from Five Paranormal.
Hey, how are you all doing?
Hey!
Hey.
We're okay, except for we're kind of going star crazy over here with no internet, but we'll be all right.
Oh, I can imagine. Have you reverted back to smoke signals yet?
Oh, it's gotten bad, let me tell you. I had to take a day off. Eric took a day off. It's still not fit, so. Anyway.
Yeah, with this huge company, they have one tech, and he happened to call in sick.
On the day that we're supposed to get the internet fixed. Yay! But anyway, how were things with you, Jake?
Oh, everything's going pretty good. Just working on a few projects. We actually have an investigation next week, so getting really prepared for that.
Ooh. You want to tell us where it's going to be, or you want to let's save that for a little bit later?
I actually do want to go ahead and talk about it a little bit. I have not announced it yet, but we're actually going to be investigating the Richard, I hope I'm saying his name right, the Richard Taliaferro home in Williamsburg, Virginia next week.
Oh,
and yeah, it's, I can't remember exactly where in Williamsburg it's at, but I've talked to someone who works there, and I have seen pictures of it, and the place looks really, really creepy, and I actually heard about Richard Taliaferro years ago when I was doing research on Colonial Williamsburg, and he was one of the main architects that designed a lot of the buildings in that area. So this is it's a huge deal, both historically and paranormally, and supposedly Richard and his wife still haunt the place. So we're going to see if we can make contact with them.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, I know, like, Williamsburg, it's kind of like Gettysburg. Everything there is haunted.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have so much history there, not just from the colonial America, but even Native American. There was always a strong presence there, not just people, but spiritually.
Right, yeah. Love that place. That's where the infamous Colonial Parkway is. So make sure you...
Mm-hmm.
Double down that one when you get here. We'll get there here, but yeah, definitely check that out as well.
Oh yeah.
So what else do you have going on?
Well, we just recently got done with our Nickerson Sneak stuff. All done with it, making the episode, getting all the investigation stuff just done. And I actually finished with everything about a week and a half ago. And so I've been going back to working on some of my frequency experiments and just getting the equipment prepared, kind of making a list and checking it twice of what we need for the upcoming investigation. So it's engaged in prep week right now.
Right. What did you catch at Nickerson Sneed?
We had a very, very active investigation at Nickerson Sneed House, and it was the very first time that we'd ever filmed like a professional-looking episode. We had always filmed during investigations for a little bit, but typically we'd like to live stream most of our investigations. But this time we just wanted to try an episode and see what would happen, and so it was a little different, but it was very active. We saw some shadow people. There was a strange presence that rolled into the building while we were doing a seance that completely caught us off guard. We interviewed a few people there before and a part of our episode, and they told us about some activity that we didn't really expect from the location, because we had been there once last year for a Paracon, and they told us kind of the basic story, and we kind of had the gist of the location. And leading up to this year's investigation of the place, I did a good amount of historical research. I couldn't find too much paranormal research in terms of everyone's groups documenting the activity, the spirits, that kind of stuff. So we kind of wanted to take a little bit of the blind approach of, we don't exactly have a full picture in our mind of what we could be dealing with, who we could be dealing with. We had a good idea as to who haunts the place, but there wasn't that 100% certainty. And so when we got there, we were interviewing these people, we heard stories. We were like, holy crap, is this the same place we were last year? And there's something about it when you hear stories that you wouldn't expect to hear from a location you've been to or a place that you've investigated before. It's almost as if, like, it knows. And I don't want to make it sound like it, like it's evil or anything, but it's like, whatever has recently been brought to light, it knows, and so you start feeling that missing presence. And that changed things a little bit, and it reared its head a few times during the investigation, and that was pretty interesting.
Wow. I'm just taken back. I've never been there. It is one of the places that I want to go to. Somebody going there for, like, the first time, what would you encourage them to maybe research on? Going in there blindly, what should they be looking for?
Well, I think it goes back to what your approach to all of this is. I think personally, my suggestion would be do a little bit of historical research on the property, because there's two rooms from the cabin that was built, and I did a lot of historical research, hours and hours leading up to it, and I was able to pinpoint that the cabin was built more than likely 1745. That's when I'm guessing it was built. So you have the floors and some of the logs in the walls, they're still there. You can actually walk on the floors that they would have walked on in the 1740s, before the French and Indian War. And for me, I'm a history buff, so I was like, holy crap, this is the coolest thing in the world. It's actually the oldest building I'd ever been in, was those two-room cabins. And just to have that understanding of what exactly took place in that house and the surrounding area. Glade Springs is a really nice community. We got lost. Our GPS Siri, I think, was trying to kill us. So we ended up going all over Glade Springs looking for this place. And it was a really nice town to be in. It has a very interesting spiritual presence, not just at the Nickerson Sneed home, but all over. You can feel it. As soon as you reach the town limits, it hits you almost like a ton of bricks. But I would suggest doing a little historical research on the property just to get an idea of, okay, this is the history of the building, so that when you're in the rooms, oh, so this is the room they're talking about. And for the paranormal, it's good to just have an open mind about anything and everything, because the spirits there, they're insanely active. And they will make their presence known to you. So that it's almost, you don't really have to look for them. They kind of look for you, especially on that second floor. That's kind of the vibe that we get from it.
Nice. Wow. Tell us a little bit more about your, I know you are doing this tour around Virginia and, like, videotaping. And tell us a little bit more about why you've decided to do this and what exactly what you're doing?
Well, it's I've split it up into, Fife Paranormal filming and then my own personal, because ever since I was really young, I've always loved filmmaking. I've always loved taking videos, taking pictures. And so I decided you know, my dad and I, we have all sorts of cool adventures when we're going to these haunted locations, not just at the locations, but before, after. And sometimes when I'm with some other family members, we go to some really cool place and we have some cool adventures. And I was like, you know what? I have a new camcorder, so why don't I just document everything and just kind of share my vision of the world, both as a paranormal investigator and as Jake Fife. And so that's kind of what I've done. I love to go to different places and just share my adventures. And with the paranormal, I like to kind of blend in the whole, I don't know exactly how you'd put it, but I want to show not just the haunted paranormal ghosts in the dark aspect. I want to show you this building is a normal building. It's not some evil, dark, scary place that you should stay away from. In the daytime, it's almost like a normal house, a normal business structure. It's just when the sun goes down, we give it this persona. And so I like to explore these buildings both day and night. And that's kind of what my filming around Virginia is just kind of cataloging my adventures.
Okay. That is crazy. Like, what are some of the places that you're that you have on your list in Virginia that you're looking forward to going to?
Oh, I have a lot of places in Virginia. I actually have a list in my notebook of about 20-some-odd locations that I want to go to. Some of those, there's a cemetery close to where I used to live in southern West Virginia that I've always wanted to go to. I've passed by it many times. I've actually visited it many times. But I've never investigated it, and I've heard some pretty wild stories about it. I've always wanted to go to some of the battlefields, mainly the Revolutionary War. I've gotten into a big Revolutionary War kick here recently, and I know I want to check out, like, the Battle of the Hook, the Battle of Charlottesville. I was reading – I was intrigued by the mystery of no one knows exactly where the Battle of Charlottesville took place. And so the inner Sherlock Holmes was like, here, let's see if I can find this out. And so I think I had a decent idea as to where it was, and I kind of want to take my spirit box and some other equipment there just to see if I can verify its location.
Right.
And so that's kind
of,
I want to get back more into investigating the local legends, the haunted cemetery where if you're there at dusk, a ghost chases you out. Or if you go down this road at night, you'll see a figure cross the road, that kind of stuff. But those are the stories that really hooked me on the paranormal. And I want to kind of get back to that.
Right. I'm trying to think of some places myself that I could tell you to go. Eric, can you think of some places?
Micah, well, I want to hear his take on Colonial Parkway.
That's actually on the list.
Yay. Crawford Road, yeah. Every time we go down there, I always get this heaviness, you know, in my chest. And it's like every, like if I go close to it, I know that I'm close to it because I always feel the same, very exact same thing. So when you go, I mean, I want to see what you feel.
Well, that's, it has a weird energy from just looking at the pictures of it. And so I can imagine what it would be like actually being there.
I mean, it's a beautiful place. It really is. And it's, in the daytime, it's gorgeous. But the history behind it, because of the Colonial Parkway murders and the just everything that's happened on, everything that's happened around it, the Yorktown Battlefield is a place that, you know, that I want to know. You want to go to. I can always feel that one too. So.
And I wanted to ask, because you mentioned about cemeteries, have you ever been to the Hollywood Cemetery in Richmond?
I have driven past it, but I've never actually been to it.
That one's got a crazy history. With the vampire man.
Oh, yeah, the Yeah, the Richmond Vampire, which is connected with the Churchill Tunnel.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, and then the dog. And then I think we were there one time, the dog was facing one way, we went again, it was facing another way. It was,
oh, that's
yeah.
creepy.
That is creepy.
Yeah, there's a story behind that, something about the dog stands guard over this.
The little girl, because when we went, I don't know what happened to the little girl, but her grave has kind of got like a cutout, and it's full of toys.
We actually
left some stuff. So it was like, ugh, creepy. So that's another one of the places that I want to go into. Of course, you can't get in that at night. So.
Right.
It's the only bad part about cemeteries. Speaking on cemeteries, I'd also like to go to, and this is another West Virginia, this isn't even West Virginia. What is it called, Eric? The one down by Moundsville, where Holly Quinn is buried in. We were there.
Yeah, we were there, but
I don't remember the name of it.
I can't remember the name of it either.
You've probably been.
I've always wanted to go to Moundsville. Haven't yet, but it's very high on the list.
Right. Moundsville was awesome.
And I wanted to ask you, too, I know you said you do a lot of the history. What advice would you give somebody? Because I kind of want to do that for our group, you know, get more into being able to do the history. So what advice would you offer somebody on that?
Well, I would first say know the location you're going to. You have, if you have a lot of people in your group, maybe have everyone give just a basic knowledge of the history and claims of the location, and maybe split the people where some are looking more into the paranormal, some are looking at the historical, because personally for me, I love to know everything about the history of a location so that I can connect with that location personally. I can go into a room and say, okay, this was Dr. So-and-so's office who worked here from this time and this time, and this happened to him that was very traumatic. Could he still be here? And if so, I have personal questions that only Dr. So-and-so can know. And it has worked in the past before. Sometimes it hasn't. I know my dad, he likes to go in a bit more historically blind, and it works too. It just boils down to what your preference is. But if you want to go looking into the history route, I would try to look at as much history as you possibly can. And then after you're done looking at the history of the place, look at the paranormal claims of a location and see if you can match anything up. Like, hey, they report a little girl on the first floor that is jumping rope, but who died in the 1920s, but this location wasn't built until the 1980s. And then it's like, well, is she really there, or is there something else? And it starts a trail of questions that can either help prove or possibly debunk activity at a location.
Okay. Yeah, because I know for me it's always hard, because some places I like to go in blind per se, but then on others I like to know a little bit of the history, so it kind of gears me up, you know, kind of what to expect. I don't know if I should say expect, but
that's kind of like the Exchange Hotel in Gordonsville. Now that's the place where you know the history.
Oh, heck yeah. We investigated there on Halloween night of last year. And that was another one of those locations when I started getting into the history of place. I found a few spirits that supposedly roamed there that I didn't quite expect. Like the one, I can't remember his name, but the angry spirit who it was like a murder-suicide. He was a I don't think he was a general. I know he was a commander in one of the armies. And suppose if you start asking about his life, he gets, like, really angry and sometimes will attack you in the summer kitchen. And when I read that, I was like, holy crap, didn't expect that one.
That's like the place where you go, the one with the room where you go into, and the man hated women. I mean, hated.
Yeah.
I went in by myself,
yep,
and saw a couple of lights and stuff and strange off the wall things happening in there. So definitely.
Now, Eric, one thing I would like to say, going back to the whole history thing, one thing that for me really kind of proved how useful that is. When we investigated the Nickerson Snead house, I was doing research, and of course you look at NickersonSnead.com, history of the place. The two-room cabin was built by Francis King Cannon in the early 1700s, and then that's really it about him. And there's no really reports of anyone encountering him. And so for some reason, I don't know what it was, I just kind of got fascinated by Francis King Cannon and why there's that one sentence and then there's nothing else. And so, doing a little digging, he has a pretty interesting past. He didn't lead early in his life. He didn't have the world's greatest life in the world. He actually came into possession of the land kind of strangely. It's not listed on records how he got the land, but he was actually a very skilled surveyor, and he's responsible for a lot of the roads that are around Glen Springs. And that's something I didn't know. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I think he worked with George Washington a few times. They were apparently buddies a little bit. And his sons fought in the Revolutionary War. And him, Francis King Cannon, his wife actually died in the house. And doing some more research, he was not the world's happiest camper. He had a bit of a temper. He was either happy or he was really angry. And so when we went to our investigation, I kind of had it set in my mind, I want to try and contact Francis King Cannon. And we were told by the owner, Nixon Sneed, no one's been able to make contact with him yet that we know of. And so when we started asking for Francis King Cannon, the vibe of the house changed. It went from kind of, okay, this is kind of creepy, in the dark, creepy kids in clown paintings, dolls everywhere, to holy crap, there's something here. Like, you can feel it walk in the room, and just, it's almost like it envelops you in this wave of energy. And I asked Francis, is that you? And we had a voice from our spirit box that said, down. And so we were like, is he downstairs? And about that time, we heard footsteps downstairs in the hallway. And we kept asking about Francis King Cannon. We had a voice that called him an old man. We had another voice that said evil.
Oh.
And it just, and that's something, you know, the very first time we were there, we too asked for Francis King Cannon. But that's where I think the historical research does come into play, because when we started asking about Francis King Cannon, it changed the atmosphere of the building, the ground, activity, not really skyrocketed, but rose just a little bit. And so that's an example I would like to use for team historical research.
That's probably one of those things that people don't actually stop to think about to ask. I mean, if you don't know too much about the house, then you don't know to ask those questions. You don't know to ask for him, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Now, what would you say would be the best thing? Do you actually go, like, to a library to research, or do you do it, like, all on the internet?
I actually do all of my research on the internet. And then I will talk to people who are very knowledgeable about the location. That's typically how I do mine. But when it comes to historical research, I base everything on actual records I can find.
Oh, I do want to mention, there is a place we went to, and they don't take kindly per se for like paranormal, but in Virginia Beach, the Cavalier Hotel, if you ever get a chance to walk in there, you need to. It is like, this place was amazing to me. I mean, the feeling that you got as soon as you walked in.
The history of it. I mean, tours died there.
Wow.
I mean, you know, we think the man from Coors Beer, we think he was pushed. It doesn't say he was by himself.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have any, there's nobody knows what happened to him. They just know he fell, jumped, whatever, from the sixth floor. So.
And what was weird, we were actually on the sixth floor, and it was like 7 or 8 at night, and we saw a housekeeper walking in the hallway, talking, singing, went into a room, and never came back out.
Never came back out. And the weird thing about that is what she had on is not typically for 2018 what they wear as a housekeeper.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool.
So we don't have any proof that she is a spirit or whatever, but it kind of sounds like it.
And what's cool is they have pictures of all the people that stayed there and a little bit of history about them. So it is definitely a place to check out.
Yeah.
That's right up my alley.
Oh, yeah. It's a really awesome place to go.
I do. I wanted to actually stay the night there, but
it's like $400 a night. I ain't got it. Sorry.
Wow. That's kind of crazy.
So.
What else?
I don't know. I mean, what you got? What have you got? I know you said you're going to this place in Colonial Williamsburg, but while you're there, you know, Colonial Parkway, but are you going to be spending like a whole weekend where you can go a whole bunch of different places, or are you just concentrating on that one place?
Yeah, we're just, this time around, we're going to be concentrating on just that one place this time around. This will be my technically second trip to Williamsburg, but first time actually being in the Colonial part. So we're kind of just feel our way around, just do the location this time around, but we'll definitely probably be back in the future.
Well, you got to go to Busch Gardens too, you know.
I've been to Busch Gardens once, and when I went there, it had poured rain as we were driving down, and we got on, what was the ride I got on? It was Verboten.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lady in front of us. I can't remember if she was an employee or not, but she said, you know, I don't think we'll make it off this ride. I was like, oh, no. And so you're looking back at the ride operator like, can I please step off? I choose life. But I survived. It was a fun time. We went during the Hallows Scream, and it almost turned into a National Lampoon's Vacation-style adventure, but it was still a lot of fun.
Oh, well, I guess you wouldn't want to ride a roller coaster with me because I'm the type, I'll be standing there and I'll go, this reminds me of the roller coaster ride in Final Destination.
Yeah. And you used to do that to me all the time, especially Big Bad Wolf, because it was, I guess the track was above it, and that's kind of what reminded me a lot of the one in that movie, and I'm like, I would freak out. I'm like, no, don't do this. But and they, you know, they've got their own haunted thing there too. I mean, well, there's Hallows Scream, but then there's really real spirits there too.
Yeah, we've heard
so,
some stories of some stuff there. So
yeah,
I mean, that you know, that's the weird thing about the haunted attractions. A lot of the people with my family and friends, they always want to do the haunted houses. I personally hate haunted houses. There's just something about jump scares I do not like. I think I would rather be in a place like Bobby Mackey's Hell's Gate, locked in by myself, blindfolded all night, than to go into a haunted house. There's just something about them that I do not like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I'll ask, did you ever have a curiosity about the Winchester house in California?
Oh, yeah. That, the place is strange, just the history of it, the people that were just involved with it, going back to the whole mysteries part, that place is one gigantic mystery. But they're still finding rooms, which I think is a really cool part. And so that is definitely on the bucket list of locations to check out.
Yep, that's one of our bucket lists. Did you see the movie?
I have not yet, but I heard it was pretty good.
It is pretty good. It's still kind of... I don't know, but the 13 ghosts in there, and I don't know if all that sounds kind of Hollywood to me, but...
And the thing that got me, and I don't want to really give the movie away, but I will share this one part. It was almost like, you know, the reason they said she kept making, you know, the different rooms, and...
Mm-hmm.
What I got from the movie was the reason she did was the spirit wanted a room to be like it was for when they were alive.
Hmm.
And then when and they did their thing in these different.
Yeah, the 13 ghosts in there. Is it 13 or am I mixing that up with another movie?
I think you're mixing up because there is another movie called 13.
Yeah, but they were in like this hallway with all these ghosts in it. I'm like, we need to stop before we give the movie away.
I didn't tell anything.
You need to see it. It's awesome. And they are, I read somewhere that they only had one picture of Miss Winchester, and now they have recovered one more picture of her, what they think is one more picture of her.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's, I guess they keep finding rooms, they keep finding pictures, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One day.
Yeah, we'll get there one day.
I'm trying to think where else would be a cool place to go to.
Somebody told me that we need to check out the Great Dismal Swamp.
I've heard a few interesting ghost stories out of that place.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's right between our house and my work, so I'm going to have to go there one day.
So what are the stories you've heard? Because I've actually never heard any stories.
Was it Peaches Light? I'm gonna let Jake take it, because I don't know.
Yeah, it's honestly been a while since I've looked into the Great Dismal Swamp, but the one that I'm familiar with is the light. And if I remember it right, Wendy, correct me if I'm wrong, but there were two lovers that would meet in the swamp, and it was like a tragic lover's leap type thing. They died, and now the light guides them to each other, or it's something like that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, it's Old House Woods.
Yes, that's actually probably number two on my list of places to check out in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to tell them about your experience with that.
With Old House Woods?
Yeah, about that lady.
Oh, there was some lady that... Remember the Paracon we were at, where we actually got to meet you and for the first time at Exchange Hotel?
Mm-hmm.
She was there, and
says
that she owns a house right in Old House Woods. She gave me her number and everything. I think I've misplaced it now, but said her house was right smack in the middle of Old House Woods, and for us to come and stay. That was kind of creepy to me.
I was about to say, that almost sounds like the plot of a Scooby-Doo episode.
Yeah. They, you know, that's definitely a place we want to go. Of course, 360 will be at 360 tomorrow, Saturday. We know you've been there.
Oh, yeah. That was a fun location to investigate.
Trying to think. Somewhere else in Virginia.
There's so many.
Help us out, Jake. You know places in Virginia.
Well, there is a place that we're going to try to get into.
Where's that? Oh,
Bacon's
Castle. You ever been there?
I have not. I've heard of it. Never been to it.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Never been to it.
So we're going to try to check that one out.
Yeah, we're going to have to check that out. We had a winter that's going with us there. We got to go there.
Yeah. Now, I was looking here recently. I'm sure that both of you know my favorite location of all time is St. Albans Sanatorium. I've been there five or six times in the past 2 years. I love that place. But there was something about 2 weeks ago. It popped back in my mind. And this was post-Nickerson Sneeze stuff. I was focusing on that. And St. Albans popped up in my mind. So I was like, okay. Obviously, it popped up in my mind for a reason. So I started looking at blueprints of the place and floor plans. And I was looking at the basement level where the bowling alley is, the boiler room, the stairwell. And I found the section of the building I didn't know existed. And I was looking at the map, and the map was, I think it was as of 2004, I think is what the map was. And I was like, okay, there's bowling alley, boiler room. What's this entire other section? I was like, that's kind of strange. And it was like a gigantic storage room in the front. And there was, it said like a small barber shop, a few offices, and another stairwell. And I was like, I didn't know this existed because I had thought, you know, I'd been through most of the building before. And I went back and looked at some of the photos that I took of Albans. And the front part of the building, I guess the creepy one that's always photographed and videoed in front of, there are at the bottom left of most pictures and videos, you see windows. And I had always assumed those were from the boiler room, but they had been covered up. And I thought, you know, there is a doorway that is to the front left of the building. I think it's slightly underground, but it looks like a doorway. And when you're in the boiler room, there's like a double door. And I had always assumed, you know, that's what that is. But it's not. It's actually, it goes into a huge storage area. And I remember the first time I had read about the Gina Renee Hall murder is one of the versions of the story I heard was when the guy killed her, he took her back to St. Albans and went through the front right side door and hid her body in either the ground or the wall. Now, see, I had always assumed that was the boiler room. Because I was like, okay, front right side door. I was like, I know where that is. It's boiler room. I've been there a million times. But it's actually not there. I was like, it's way in front. Because apparently the storage room, according to the floor plan, it's a huge room. And so I was thinking, wait a minute. I was like, could her body be inside of there? And so that's kind of got me intrigued again. And I actually talked with a friend of mine who was a volunteer at Albans for a few years, and they told me that they opened it up sometimes during their haunted house, but there's like a weird dark energy in that area, and that they don't open it up for public investigations, private investigations, but in the storage room where I'm guessing her body might be, if it's in the building, the roof is actually starting to cave in. In that part of the building, but in the other rooms there, it's kind of intact. It's fine. And so that, you know, struck me as kind of strange that, you know, the other rooms down there are fine, but the room where there's supposedly the dark deed was done, the roof just happens to be falling in to where you can't get into the room. And then, of course, when the building was abandoned, the dark and evil things that happened inside of there, who knows what that room was used for. And so now I'm intrigued, and I'm kind of itching to get back to St. Albans just to go back. Yeah, and not only see the room, but this entire section of St. Albans I've never been to.
Yeah, I know. When are you thinking about going? Because I would love to go.
I want to go.
We don't have a date set up yet. We've talked about it. We might be going there to the Enigma Cons event in May. I can't remember the date, but we might go there for that event.
I think it's the 19th.
I think it is. I can't remember exactly.
It's around that, because we were going to Jersey to meet Katrina.
Yes.
So, I think it was the same weekend, yeah. So.
Huh.
Well, we might have to be going to St. Albans instead, I don't know.
Yeah, I know, because now he's got me intrigued. See,
I know.
I want to get more into the history like that. I want to.
We went into a storage room. Is that?
They didn't take us into that one, no. I think they mentioned about it, but they, you know, they didn't let anybody go in.
Because remember, we went in a storage room that was down there, and it was really freaking creepy because it had, like, everybody, like, their belongings and stuff were still there. That it was just weird. Or am I thinking about?
You're doing like me. You're getting confused.
You're getting my places confused. Because it could be Hillview Manor.
Yeah, it was Hillview.
Okay.
Because that's what I did at first when he was saying about that storage room.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got to go back to St. Albans. Wow. So what does your future look like?
Well,
which way
are
you making this video thing?
Well, it's always up in the air. We're just kind of doing our thing and just seeing where it takes us.
Right.
I know I want to continue working with the frequencies that I've been doing since January. Actually, a little bit tonight before the show, I was working on them just a little bit. But next week at the Taliaferro home, we're actually going to be using, I call it the Fifecom. Chris absolutely hates the name, but it's the frequency device. I based it on the Spiritcom experiments of the 1980s, and we're actually going to be deploying it in the field for the very first time. So I'm actually pretty excited to see what happens. And it's very, I will admit, it's creepy sounding. It's just like a weird, creepy hum. That's about the only way I can describe it. For the listeners and for you all, of course, if you want to get an idea kind of what it sounds like, just go on YouTube and type in the Spiritcom. And kind of the way that device sounds is what mine sounds like. So I'm imagining in a pitch dark setting in an old home built in the 1720s, it's going to sound pretty freaking creepy.
Oh, man.
Make sure you get video, because I'm looking forward to listening to this.
Oh, I will. And, you know, it's weird. I have, since I've been doing the experience, I have made a few discoveries with it and how the frequencies kind of work and help out the white noise over the spirit box and kind of vice versa. And ever since I added the rod of a diode to the mix, I'm intrigued by the potential it has. And I have noted on separate occasions that I have gotten more spirit box responses and actually clearer spirit box responses when I have the frequencies running with the white noise.
Okay,
and that's
yeah.
Something out of the maybe 6 times I've tried it, I've noticed that maybe 3 or 4 times. So I'm kind of thinking that where there's smoke, there's fire with this. And so we're going to kind of put that theory to the test that maybe the frequencies make the spirit box more effective as like an extra energy source for the spirits to use and direct to the white noise. And so we're going to put that to the test.
That's going to be awesome. Eric's actually looking it up right now. I miss my internet. I usually have my computer right in front of me, and I don't have anything. So, like I said, I'm going through this blindly.
I want to ask you, too, when you guys normally go, do you like to go just the two of you, or do you go sometimes in a group? I mean, how do you prefer to go to these locations?
I mean, we have had people with us on investigations before, but typically when we do our private investigations, it's just my dad and I. It's just us. Now, we don't mind being with groups for something, say, public events, but typically it's just my dad and I in these haunted locations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's what we're thinking, too. I mean, we want to go with other people, too, but we work so well together that we feed off of each other. So it's like extra people is like a distraction of some sort.
Well, I do remember. I really want to go to St. Albans with you and your dad because I can remember. I think we were talking at the exchange, and you mentioned about going. But that is one location I really want to go with you because I know you have such a, I don't know what the word is.
I'm following Jake in St. Albans. I'm sorry. I'm following him. He gets the most activity than anybody I've ever talked to.
Yeah, because I remember you shared during one of our shows, you shared an experience you had there, and it just like.
With him and Chris with the blob.
Yeah, that I still do not. That's the only experience I've had in my 8.5 years in the field that still creeps me out to the point where, you know, it's I don't like to talk about it, and it's like late at night and I'm about to go to bed. It's just you have experiences like that when you start to tell the story. It's almost like a storybook in your mind opens up and you can see it happen again. And
really
you have the same feelings that you felt during that moment. And it's something that I wouldn't want to experience again. But then again, I kind of want to know, what did I see?
Yeah, I know, because that's what piqued my curiosity. I mean, I don't want to dwell on it. Because I know, like you said, but I really want to go there to see again if it could happen again because that was amazing to me.
We didn't really get that much when we were there, though. We saw Red Eyes. We did saw the creep. I felt the creeper going between my legs. That was creepy, really creepy.
Yeah.
Look at Cat. It was just weird.
Well, the only thing that was, for me, that was kind of weird, we were down in the bowling alley, and Wendy went to the other end by herself, and they were like, she went down there by herself? You let her go down there by herself? And I'm like, so that was just, like, are these people for real?
Now,
that's how Wendy worked.
Yeah. Now, before we run out of time, there is an experience that I haven't really talked about it too much before. Happened to me in the morgue. It was two Halloweens ago. We were there for a public investigation, and it was actually my very first time, actually second time in the morgue area of St. Albans, and it was just me and one other guy. It was just the two of us, and I was back in the morgue, and there was just out of complete nowhere this heat that started swirling around my head. It had almost felt like my brain was kind of just spinning around in circles. And only around my head, because remember, it's October, and if you've been to St. Albans that late in the year, you know it's pretty chilly in the building. My head mm-hmm. felt like it was in, like, a sauna, and I started getting dizzy, and so I told the investigator I was with, I said, you know what, let's go back to everyone else. I'm not feeling so well. So we started to go, and there was a room across from us, and I don't know what it was used for, but there was a sound of, like, something rustling around. And all of a sudden, there was this bright orange light, and it looked to be about the size of a softball. And I was leading the way out the door, and I remember it came straight at me. And I remember we both probably said a few expletives, and it went straight at my head, and it was almost like it did a circle around my head, and then just almost like it burst right in front of my face. And the whole experience lasted about 2 seconds. It was just turn the corner, go to walk out of the room, there's an orange light that comes right at me, circles, and then bursts. And as soon as that happened, it was like a gigantic gust of wind just came right over my face. And ever since that experience, I have actually never been back to the morgue since that experience.
Dang. Now you just gave me goosebumps. Wow. Dang. We got to get there. And I know we got this show on Saturday night, you know, Night Visions, and we're going to be doing some things with some teams. So we're going to, you know, hook up with y'all and, you know, Five Paranormal and get some things rolling. I don't want to say too much because it's going to be a surprise when it happens. But yeah, so I want Five Paranormal to be one of the groups that we do work with. So
definitely.
Oh, we definitely enjoy that.
And it's almost time to go. Oh my gosh, it's been a short hour. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
So thank you much for coming on again. We love having you on our show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I always love being on the show.
We appreciate it. And let's get together and go to St. Albans if nowhere else.
Oh, yeah, definitely sounds like a plan. We'll have to work something out.
You got anything else you need to say, Eric?
No, just thank you. We really appreciate you taking the time and sharing that with us and sharing with all the people listening in and that. So I appreciate that.
We'll talk to you soon, Jenny. Anything else you want to say before you go?
I just want to say once again, thank you, Wendy and Eric, for having me on the show. It's always an honor. I love being on the show. It's always a fun time. To all the listeners, thank you all for tuning in to tonight's show. Hope you all enjoyed it as much as I did.
Thank you, Jay. Talk to you soon.
And thank you. Y'all have a good night.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, that was awesome.
Yeah, we love Jay. We love Jake. We love Five Paranormal. Do we tell who we got next week? Should we wait? Make them wait.
I don't know if I can wait. I'm like, let's make them wait.
Okay, yeah, we'll make them wait. We'll maybe announce it on the Facebook page. Yeah,
but
on the weekend.
But I guarantee you.
It is one not to miss.
Well, this one was not to miss.
This was definitely not to miss, too. We love Jake. So.
Even in his busy schedule, he always takes time out.
I know. And look for us on Saturday, 8 o'clock.
Yes, because we're going to be...
And then we're going to have a regular show at 10 o'clock.
We're going to be live, all
we're
right.
We're going to be live. You get to actually see us this time. Who cares? But anyway, love you guys. We'll talk with you soon.
Oh, before we go, though, I want to say another big thank you to Ryan for helping us
out.
Yes,
thank you, Ryan. Tell Ange we love her and hope to see her soon.
And of course, I got to say thank you to Dennis.
Yeah. Dennis. Can't wait to see you guys. Bye.
Bye, everybody.